Let me say a few words about our scripture memory. We had 40 couples or 40 plus couples last week on the couples retreat, and we did not do our scripture memory. And so what we're going to do is next week we do verses 1 through 4 of, what is it, Philippians chapter 4. So we'll continue our verses next week. Please have them prepared. We have mercy this week, okay? For all you who went, oh, the verses! Okay. Also, pray for the Seattle team. They are beginning their church Easter morning. I just got a call from them, and they found a coffee shop right across the street from the University of Washington Extension in the northern part of Seattle there. And the lady who started the coffee shop started it about, I think, 5 or 6 weeks ago, and her dream was to start a church in her coffee shop. So when Brent found out and went to her and said, "This is my vision for a church," she cried. And she said, "I've been praying for this for a long time." And we started the coffee shop for that. So they're very excited. They're going to be starting their church Easter morning. Do pray for them, their contacts, getting all their stuff together. We are excited to see what God is going to accomplish through them there in Seattle. Exodus chapter 20, if you will. We come today in our study of the Ten Commandments to the fourth commandment, which is the controversial one. Everybody wants to know what it means. It shouldn't be controversial, by the way, so we'll just take a look at it. We have 30 minutes to solve this whole problem, this controversy. We're not going to do it, okay? But we will at least dig in and talk about what it means. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servants, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is in the gates. For in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in it, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it." Deuteronomy chapter 5 gives us a little different twist on this, in that it gives the reason for the Sabbath in verse number 15. It says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched hand. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." This is the word of God. I remind you that this commandment has two parts. First part is to work 6 days. In fact, if you don't honor the first part of it and you simply rest, you're lazy. Yes? And so the 6 days is a part. You work 6 days, and there's to be a rest. There's to be a rhythm to life. I think most of us are concerned about the work ethic in our culture. Most of us have worked with people. We wondered why they were getting a paycheck. Yes? I was reading about some resumes, and these are actual excerpts from resumes. One of them said, I failed the bar exam with relatively high grades. What does that mean, you know? Do you want him to be your attorney? My favorite one was, please note that the 14 jobs I have held do not mean I'm a job hopper. I have never quit a job. I don't think that's helping his cause a bit, do you? I hope that's not your resume, by the way. And we talked last time that Christians are called. We're called to the Lord. We are called, therefore, to do something for Him. Christians don't have jobs. We have callings. You have been gifted by God, and you've been called by God to serve humanity based upon your gifts and your calling. I spent some time last weekend with Paul Rood. Had a wonderful chance. I'm excited about Paul's ministry in Alaska, excited about what God's doing in his heart. And we were discussing, and Paul is going through this transition where he went from being a CFO in business to a missionary. And he said it's just weird because now everybody who approaches him, they're all approaching him like a missionary. Kind of like he's spiritual now. You know, you weren't spiritual in business. Businessmen are not spiritual. But missionaries all are. You're like, right. And so now everybody's walking up, oh, you're a missionary. And he says, it's weird because it's like, I'm no longer Paul Rood the person. I'm Paul Rood the missionary. I said, welcome to ministry. That's what they do to all ministers, you know. We can never be ourselves. We're the pastor or the missionary. So I was talking to Paul and pray for him. It's a weird transition for Paul. But we were talking, and he said, one of the things that's been interesting is how many people in churches come up to Paul because he was in business and now he's in ministry and say to him, you know, I hate my job. My job's awful. Can't stand it. I'm bored. I hate it. Oh, I need to become a missionary. And Paul's like, Oh my goodness. See, Paul is not going into missions because he hated his job. He loved his job. He was very, very content in business. You know, if you're not content in business, please don't volunteer for ministry. You know, in fact, most people I know in ministry would like to go back to business. You know? Most people come up to me and go, Barnett, I don't want your job. I'm like, thanks a lot, you know? I was at the Shepherd's Conference one time with John MacArthur, and in a Q&A, they asked John MacArthur, who's a very successful pastor, they say, you ever feel like quitting? And he said, only twice a week. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is there is no job that will satisfy completely. Only Christ satisfies. And even Christ in this world doesn't satisfy completely. Yes, there are things our heart long for that only heaven will satisfy. You have a calling. Fulfill your calling to the Lord. Serve humanity. But we've got to get rid of this sacred and secular stuff. Okay? We all work for Jesus Christ. Where we work, our gifts are different. We work for Christ. And so the commandment says, work, labor 6 days. And then it says, have a day of rest. Have a day of rest. Now, I don't have time to go through all the controversies concerning the Sabbath and why we don't talk about this much in church anymore and all that kind of stuff in 30 minutes. So let me just answer one quick question, and that is this. Is the Sabbath day concept, the rest concept, applicable today? Is it something that we as a church and we as Christians and we as a humanity and society need to take seriously, just as we take seriously thou shalt not kill? And my answer is yes. Let me give you two reasons. Number one, it's a creation ordinance. Okay? God established the concept of 6 days of work and a seventh day of rest in Genesis chapter 2. That's where it started. It is an ordinance that was given to all of mankind in Genesis chapter 2, not just to Christians. Just like marriage in Genesis chapter 2 is given to all of mankind, not just given to Christians. People ought to be married whether they're Christians or not. It's a creation thing, not a Christian thing. And so in Exodus chapter 20, God borrows this concept from creation and says to his people, now I want you, especially my people, to keep the concept. But it's a creation ordinance, first and foremost. Second of all, God puts it in the Ten Commandments. And I've told you the Ten Commandments are not simply Ten Commandments. They're 10 categories of behavior, 10 categories, 10 ways of looking at life, 10 ways of treating each other, and 10 ways of treating God. These are not obscure passages. Therefore, I think we need to really seriously look at the fourth commandment and ask the question, what is it that God intends by this commandment? And then the hard part, I think, is how does this apply then in our culture? Because we live in a culture that does not honor a day of rest. You know that. We live in a culture where there are police officers and medical personnel who have to work on Sundays. If you live in an area where there's tourism like Orlando, most churches in Orlando have Saturday services and Monday services because people work weekends. So we live in a culture that quite frankly, it's very, very, very difficult as post-Christian to honor a day of rest. And so what does God intend by this, and how do we apply it with some kind of honesty and integrity and try to be true to Scripture on it? So this is our challenge this morning. I think John Calvin summarized it best. John Calvin said there are three basic purposes of the Scripture, of the Sabbath day. Number one, he said it is to be a relief to workers. Number one, it is to be a relief to workers. There is the idea in the Sabbath rest that we as human beings are not intended to work continually at all times. We're not to be under this kind of stress continually. There is to be in our life a rhythm, and there is to be times of deep rest physically and emotionally. You are not created by God to carry the weight of the world forever. You must stop and you must rest. And it's important for us to give people times of rest. That's important for mankind. Last year I had an experience that I hope I never have again. It took me 46 years to finally visit the emergency room. If I have any, if I have my way, it'll be the last. Okay? You know, I got there and my stomach was in pain and I'm thinking, what do I got? And they said, would you like us to call your doctor? And I said, nah, let the poor guy sleep. Call the doctor next time, you know? 7 hours later, he gave me 2 Tylenols. I sat in the room for 6-7 hours waiting, you know, in pain. Finally, 7 o'clock in the morning, this guy arrives and looks at me. And I'm not very coherent now. I've been up all night. And he says, you don't look so bad. We'll do a blood test, send you home. I'm thinking, great, I could have done this at the house. This, you know. Takes a blood test, comes back in 15 minutes, and he says, whoa, you're not going anywhere. You have a very high elevated white blood cell count. Something's wrong. I'm like, I told you guys this 7 hours ago. And they did a CAT scan and found out that I had acute diverticulitis. What that means is your stomach's impacted and your intestines stretch and you get infected, and it's not good. And that was a good sermon for me, because I tend to take stress internally. Some people beat the walls and scream. Not me. It all goes inside on me. And God was saying to me, you know, you can't carry the weight of the world. You were not intended to work this way. And even when you have your day off, to carry the stress and to think, you can't do this. You must disengage from life every week and rest in me, or your body will let you know you can't do this anymore. Good sermon. You know, pastors aren't really good at hearing, you know, God preached a good one to me. And I've taken great steps in my life to say, how do I rest from my labor? What do I have to do to disengage from ministry and to be just me and the Lord? Because you can't do it. You're not meant to carry that kind of weight. God says to you, I give you an excuse to take a day off and to rest. Now, what does that mean? What does that rest look like? In Exodus chapter 20, God says we are to rest from our labor because He rested on the seventh day. Question, does that mean that God on the seventh day stopped doing anything? No. Was God passive on the seventh day? No. Did God take a nap on the seventh day? I hope not. Kind of need Him, you know? It means that God finished creating and He began to enjoy His creation. It means that God walked in the garden with Adam. It means that God ruled over His creation. It means He did not do what He did the first 6 days, but He did something on the seventh day. The seventh day is not a day to do nothing, but it is a day to do things differently than the seventh day. It is a day of joy. It is a day to enjoy the creation, to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy God's people, and to be refreshed. Let's put it this way. If you were building a boat, and if you could build a boat in 6 days, what would rest look like on the seventh day? A ride in the boat. See? Would a ride in the boat be rest? Absolutely. It would be enjoying what you have created. It would be enjoying your labor. It would not be a day when you take a nap. It would be a day you get in the boat and drive the boat down the lake and go, wow, this is enjoying it. In other words, the seventh day is not just a day to do nothing. It is a day to do the things you can't do during the other 6 days. It's a day of joy. It's a day of celebration. It's a day for the Lord. It's a day for family. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, when he says, keep the Sabbath holy, he doesn't refer to creation rest. He says, keep the Sabbath day holy because you're not slaves anymore. What can't slaves do? Rest. They can't take a day off. In fact, if you remember, when Moses went to Pharaoh the first time, he didn't say, let my people go permanently. He said, let my people do what? Go into the wilderness for a day of feasting, a day of joy, and a day of rest. When Pharaoh refused, eventually God freed them completely. Why did God free them from slavery? So they could rest. So they weren't slaves anymore. So that you can work and you can rest. So that you can work and you can have a day of true enjoyment. A day of joy. So the Sabbath day is not a day to do nothing. The Sabbath day is a day to do those things you don't do 6 days a week. It's a day of great enjoyment. In fact, Jesus, remember, is walking through the fields on the Sabbath, on the day of rest, with his disciples, and he's enjoying them, and he reaches out and he grabs probably the wheat. You know, we used to do this when we were kids. You just grab the top of a wheat and you kind of strip them off, and you get the wheat kernels and you pop them in your mouth and you chew on them. And it eventually become like gum. It's really interesting. So Jesus is walking through and he reaches over and he grabs it and he pops it in his mouth. And that was allowed in the law for those who were traveling. It was one of those things. If you're traveling, you could do that. And the Pharisees saw it and they go, good, nice, started the combine up. You can't. It's harvesting. And Jesus looks at these people and he goes, the Sabbath was not, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. This is a gift from God to you. An excuse, a religious excuse to take a day off and to be refreshed in your spirit, to be refreshed in Him. I was in Israel at the beginning of this last conflict. It was great. Nobody was there. It was kind of nice. I wouldn't go now. It's gotten worse. But when I was there, I discovered that the Jewish God has the pictures of presidents on it. Okay, they worship money. I knew that when a guy was quoting the New Testament to sell me a widow's mite. I mean, a Jewish guy quoting Jesus to sell me a widow's mite. I figured, I know who your God is. And in the store, I found this shirt that said Shabbat, which means Sabbath, just do it with a Nike swoosh. I looked at that thing and I thought, you are selling Nike shirts with the word Shabbat, just do it. So there was a young lady there, and I thought, I'm a teaser. I'm going to say, ma'am, Shabbat means rest, just do it. What's the point? I mean, are you resting or are you doing? I don't get the shirt, you know. She was not impressed with my English humor. And eventually, she looked at me and she said, you do what you want on the Sabbath, and I'll do what I want. And I went, whoa. Here is a country that the night before the Sabbath, if you're in the hotel, they give you a bag lunch so nobody cooks the next day. They shut the whole city down. And here's a woman who's mad. She's furious because her country shuts down for a day. In other words, I think sometimes we've taken the Sabbath and we've made it something so restrictive and so, you know, you will sit still and you will not move and you will rest. And we're like, oh, we're mad. Maybe some of you grew up in a home like that, and you're looking at the Sabbath and going, great, who needs this? But that's not the Sabbath to be. The Sabbath was given for you. The Sabbath was to be your day of true joy, of true service, true kindness, a true celebration. You know, it's interesting to me that the buzzword in our day is stress and burnout. I just want to go, hello, God gave us a day to get over stress and burnout. It's interesting that 20 years ago, we allowed them to vote the blue laws out, and now we have yoga classes. I mean, is there a connection here? People are stressed, they're burnt out, and God said, no, there's a rhythm to life. You need a day to rest, a day of enjoyment, a day to write letters, a day to go for a hike and to walk, a day to sit down with your family and enjoy them, a day to have somebody come over and just enjoy your friends, a day to reflect. A day to do all those things you don't do 7 days a week. I mean, 6 days a week, but now you can do. Stuart Brisker, in his book on the Ten Commandments, writes, Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath is made for man. In other words, in the Sabbath, God graciously provides for human beings, giving man the opportunity to rest and be refreshed, to reflect, the privilege of worship, obedience, and dependence. Don't get locked in. Don't swamp it with rules and regulations. Enjoy it as a precious gift from God. The Lord of the Sabbath has spoken. You need to sit down with your family and say, okay, guys, what's it going to look like for our family to rest, to be refreshed, to really finish the week with joy and with excitement and being together and talking? What's it going to look like for us? Because God says you've got to have this time to stop and to reflect and to rest and to enjoy. By the way, watching football and NASCAR on TV doesn't count. Okay, we'll talk about that more in a minute. Okay, but we need to look at this and say, we physically need times of rest. What's it going to look like? By the way, some of you, Sundays is not a day of rest. For a pastor, it's not a day of rest. It's the busiest day I've got. For many people in law enforcement, many people who are, we have nurses in our congregation, and they get called in emergencies and all kinds of emergency personnel. You need to find a day of rest. You need that. You need to work hard at keeping the principle, even if the day gets switched. One of the things I've learned this past year with my own health issue was, you know, I have got to rest. I mean, I used to have a day off, but I never disconnected. I carried this stuff, and so I've had to learn just to really rest. A couple of weeks ago, for me, it was a very dreary winter. I don't know if it was dreary for you. I love the sunshine. It was just so dreary and gray around here for so long. And 2 weeks ago, as many of you know, I'm a hunter. I love to hunt. I love the woods. And so a couple of weeks ago, I just told my wife, I got to get out of here. I'm going crazy. So I got in my truck and drove down to my hunting property. And I was walking. It was a beautiful sunny day like today. And I walked out in the middle of this clear cut. They clear cut some land. And it was just, the sun was beating down. I took my shirt off. And I was walking around this woods. And the sun was just hitting my back. It felt so good after that long, dreary winter. And I was just out in creation. And it was just like, it was like a spiritual moment. It was just walking around in the woods and just, I mean, it was like everything drained off of me. And I began to pray. And it was just, oh man, it was a Sabbath rest for me. It doesn't look like what your parents said a Sabbath rest to look like, but that's my Sabbath rest. Walking around the wood looking for deer prints with my shirt off, praising God. Okay? I know, I'm weird. But the point is, you have got to find some way that you reconnect and you get refreshed. You've got to find a way. God wants you to connect with Him. He wants you to be refreshed in these ways. Secondly, Calvin said that the Sabbath was to be a day of spiritual instruction and worship. It is to be a day of spiritual instruction and worship. Luke 4:16 says of Christ, as His custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And by the way, this church service is modeled after the synagogue. The temple was a place of sacrifice. The synagogue was the place of spiritual instruction where the Word of God was read and songs were sung. And so I think Christian people need to look forward to a Lord's Day, a day of rest, with the anticipation that God will meet with His people on that day and refresh them spiritually. I would encourage you to begin your Sabbath rest on Saturday evenings, because Sunday evenings aren't restful. You're getting ready for school. And I would encourage you all, Saturday evening, there ought to be a couple of hours at your house where it's quiet, where you can begin to meditate and you begin to read and you begin to just slow down. And there's a sense of anticipation that on the next day, as you gather with God's people, as we sing, as we pray, as we fellowship, that God is going to restore our souls. God, there's just something almost anticipatory about this. Not, oh, we're going to church again. But this is the day we've set aside for instruction and for worship. And God is going to meet with us in powerful ways. And we are praying for that. We are meditating toward that end. We are praying for that end. And we've come together for that purpose. Now, I know that in some cases, Sundays are not restful. And that's something, quite frankly, that I'm concerned about and we're praying about as a church. Because Sunday is not to be a day of inactivity. It is to be a day of refreshing and a day of rest so that we're not doing the same things we do 6 days a week. It is to be a unique day. But at the same time, it needs to be a day of rest. And we're praying about that. That's why sometimes Sunday evenings throughout the year, some Sunday evenings, special days, we take Sunday evenings off a lot. And I know in Christendom, taking Sunday evenings off is kind of like, you bad people. But I'm looking at going, maybe we're honoring the fourth commandment that way. Maybe we're making it a day of rest. We take July Sunday evenings off in July because we have Awana workers and people that work very hard in our children's ministry, and that's their time of rest. We want them to rest. Many of you told me that July is a great month because after church you have people come over to your house, or you go out and do something together, and you enjoy God's people, and you end up the day really refreshed. Sometimes we have church picnics on Sunday, and I think that's a great Sabbath thing because we gather together for spiritual instruction, and then we all eat together and we talk and we encourage each other. And I think that's exactly what the Sabbath is to be. We don't get to do that 6 days a week, you know. So to have a day of celebration, a day of joy, a day of enjoyment, that's the Sabbath. Often the Sabbath in the Old Testament went along with feast days to enjoy each other and to enjoy the Lord. And so we need to work at this. And, you know, as we are praying about a new building someday, I mean, we're talking about what Sunday should look like if we have a new building. Should we have Sunday morning be our instruction classes and then have the worship service and then have the afternoon off so people really can spend time with their family and really can rest? Issues we're wrestling with. Because you need this. This is important. You need to be refreshed. I was reading about a missionary who was translating the Bible into this native tongue of a tribe he was working with. And he realized there was no word for praise. They didn't have a word for praise. And so he was really frustrated because that's kind of a big concept in the Bible, you know. And so he was looking at the culture, studying it, and he realized that in this culture, if you brought a gift to somebody, when they received the gift, they would always say, oh, this is good. This is good. And he realized that that's the word for praise in our culture. This is good. And Sunday is a day of praise. It's a day when we stop long enough to reflect long enough to be able to say, He is good. He is good. And we need that. We need that sense of He is good. We need that day to set aside to reflect and to understand once again the wonderful goodness of God. Last of all, Calvin said that the day of rest is to depict our spiritual rest in the Lord. that when we take a day off and we rest and we rejoice in Him, what we're really picturing is the ultimate rest, which will come for all Christians when we're with Him. Jesus said on earth, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It doesn't mean when you come to Jesus, you don't do anything anymore. It means when you come to Christ, you find rest and enjoyment for your soul, and you are refreshed in Him. Hebrews chapter 4, a wonderful chapter, which had more time to exegete on the subject of rest, talks about, "For ye who have believed do enter that rest." And then later on in verse 9, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Meaning, as we meet together as a church, and as we enjoy each other, and as we enjoy the Lord, we reflect the fact that there is ultimately a perfect rest in Christ. And that rest is available because of the gospel. And the gospel is very simple. You are, quite frankly, more wicked than you even imagine yourself. You know, you're really worse than you think. You know that? At the same time, you're more loved and more cherished than you could ever hope for. That's the gospel. And we need to reflect that. We need to spend time thinking about that. You know, it really isn't me because I'm worse than I think I am. It really is Christ because I am loved beyond imagination. That's the God. We rest in that. Now, let me just spend a few minutes talking about some applications here. Let me just say a few words about people who are not religious. Maybe you're not religious. Maybe you visit church or you come because you're curious, somebody invited you. Let me just talk a minute about those who are not religious, not church people. I think we have failed you miserably in our culture. I think the church has failed you. And I'm going to tell you why, and you're not going to like my reasoning, so just listen. Just hear me out for a minute. Years ago, I remember the fight over the blue laws. I remember those fights. And we lost. And I think we lost because Christians had the attitude, well, this is a remnant from our Christian culture, and we have no right to ask everybody to stop for a day. Do I need to move over to this? Well, okay. I was here during that time. And I remember, let me move back here. I'll turn it off. I remember that time, I hadn't thought through this Sabbath issue long enough, and I remember thinking, well, you know, this is kind of a remnant. Yeah, we are kind of forcing our beliefs on the world. Well, you know, I would rather they have one, but it's not that big a deal. And we blew it. We blew it because we did not insist upon something that was good for you. It was good for us. And we've created a culture that is not healthy. This is not a healthy culture, my friend. I have many, many friends who, for example, Dave Brown, can't wait to get back to the mission field because this culture is killing him. There's no time to stop and reflect. When I was in Europe a while back, we were on Saturday afternoon shopping. 5 o'clock, the store is all closed. And it was closed till Monday. There are cultures that still say, we need time off. Our culture doesn't. And consequently, there's no time for you to ever reflect on your soul. There's no time to stop and ask the important questions of life. Like meaning, like destiny, like eternity, like justice, like mercy. We have a whole generation that is just zooming toward the grave, never having to stop and pause for 1 minute to look at their soul, their life, their spirit, or anything. We're absolutely entertained into the grave. We have this word amusement. You know what the word amusement means? Ah is the prefix for no. Musing means thinking. An amusement park is a no-thinking park. I mean, nobody settles the world's problems in an amusement park. You go there because you don't want to think about the world's problems or your problems. And the problem is there's no place for you to stop and go, what about life? What about meaning? What about love and relationships and the important things? And we have failed you. And all I want to say to you is, please, stop sometime. Just stop long enough to listen to your soul. I know it scares you to think about your soul. I know that. But you know, if you think about your soul and you think about your needs and the guilt and the shame, I'm here to tell you there's an answer for all that stuff. There's a rest in Christ that is so precious, but you will never know that rest until you stop long enough to ask the right questions. I think television is the worst thing that ever happened to our culture. Now, I don't mean it the way you mean it.
Okay? You're thinking the sitcoms, the sleaze, and the Super Bowl halftime. Well, those are bad things. Those things usually cause people to get angry. I'm just talking about the whole concept of television. Because people are literally sitting in front of a box 20, 30, 40 hours a week with their mind in neutral, never thinking about the important issues of life. We were on the couples retreat last weekend, and a couple in my care group admitted, we walked in the room and we went, no TV? And they said it was weird because for the first time in a long time, we couldn't watch the TV and we had to talk. Amazing concept. I work with the guardian ad litem's office. I am in many, many homes where people have neglected their children. The children have been removed from the home, and I'm a guardian. And I've been in a lot of homes lately. Poor homes. You know what? There's at least 2, 3, or 4 TVs in the home. Yes, it's killing us. Because there's no time to think. There's no time to love. There's no time to enjoy people, to interact, to be relational. There's no time for our soul to catch up with us and ask the hard questions. And there are answers to the hard questions. And a lot of people are going to die never asking the right question and die in trouble because they never had a chance. Nobody ever made them stop long enough to be refreshed and to let the soul speak. So if you're not religious, I'm begging you. God gave this commandment for you to stop and to think long enough about life to where you finally need Him and He can meet your needs. But it's also for the Christian. You see, I will say this, that the problem with the Christian isn't your sin, your shame and your guilt. That's not the problem with the Christian. You know what the problem with the Christian is? It's as one writer put, your damnable good works. That's your problem. Because you were working so hard and you're doing all these great things and you never have time to stop long enough to go, it really isn't me, is it? It's you, Lord. And so you think that because you're doing all these things, that somehow God loves you more and you are self-righteous and you're looking at the rest of the world going, if you're just like me. And people don't like you very much. You know that? Because you're so arrogant. Who wants to be around Christians anymore? There's a bunch of arrogant, self-righteous people who look down the nose at the world. We are. Because we don't stop to reflect upon life and our own soul long enough to go, Lord, it's not about me. It's about You. And the best that I can ever do is filthy rags. And I need You more than ever. And I'm repenting of my good works. Because my good works isn't what makes me righteous. It is You. We rest in You alone. And You need Sabbath time to wrestle through those issues and to come to a place where you're resting in Christ. And then you get up and you're humble. And you're humble and you're gracious to the sinner. And thereby reflect Jesus Christ. It's our good works that's killing us. Because we think we really think God loves us more. And He doesn't. Let me tell you something. There's only one person God's impressed with. His name is Jesus Christ. And there's only one Christian. Jesus Christ. And all of us are in Him. Got it? Only one Christian. Jesus. And if you want to be a Christian, it's because you're in Him. It's not your righteousness. And you will not get that unless you stop and think deeply about your life and begin to meditate and rest in Him. You understand? We need this so bad. I was reading a story about a businessman, type A personality, who went to Africa on a hunt. And it was a 7-day hunt. And he absolutely got up every morning at 4:30 and he drove the natives crazy. I mean, he just sun up to sundown, you know, typical American. Just, we work at our vacations, by the way. I mean, really, our vacations are more work than our labor. Nobody just takes vacation and rest anymore. We got doing something. And anyways, that's another soapbox. I'll get off that soapbox. This businessman was driving the natives. And about the fourth day, he got up real early and said, let's go hunt. And the natives just sat there. And they wouldn't move. And he got furious. And finally, he got the head guy and he said, tell these people to move. And the guy said, they're not moving. I'm sorry. And he said, why? And the native said, because they're waiting for their soul to catch up with their body. And you know, there are a lot of people in this country whose soul will never catch up. And God said, I have a day of rest so that your soul can catch up with your body, so that you can really ask the important questions. See, when was the last time you contemplated
something important. When was the last time you spent time contemplating your soul, your spiritual condition before God? When was the last time you actually spent time contemplating the state of your marriage, the holy covenant you made? Your children, where are they spiritually and psychologically and emotionally, mentally? The meaning of life, the will of God, my gifts, my calling, relationships, love, the world. When was the last time you had enough time to sit and think deeply on these thoughts and be refreshed and to rest in Christ and to find your hope and joy in Him only? We are people that are just carrying around incredible stuff and it will never come out because we can't stop long enough to deal with it biblically. I have a friend, most of you know him. I will keep his name out of this to protect the guilty. Not really, I'm just kidding. My friend goes to massage therapists. He swears by massage therapists. See, I'm over 40. Massage still is a bad word for me. I'm working on it, okay? Massage therapy is great. I probably ought to go. But he swears by it. And he was recently talking to his massage therapist, and she's a Christian, and she goes to a church in Greenville, a good church. And so he was talking to her about this, and she said to him, she said, it is really amazing that about half of the people that I work on in massage therapy, she said, as I work on their muscles and they begin to relax, she said, about half of them, halfway through, they begin to weep. She says, it's like as their body relaxes, all that stuff inside just kind of comes out. And they just cry uncontrollably. I mean, how sad we live in a world where people carry such heaviness in their heart and there's no time to stop and to rest, to let it come out and to deal with it so we can get up and be people of strength and character and love. See, and then we say, well, is this commandment for today? I just want to laugh. Are you kidding me? There may not be a commandment. We need more than this commandment today. You need time to disconnect, to be refreshed, to rest, to engage God. David said in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Did you get the order? It is when you are led by still waters that your soul is refreshed, not the other way around. Look, God gave this for you and me. It is the Sabbath rest, a time to disconnect without guilt, to put it aside and to rest. Rest from our labors emotionally and physically, to worship and to engage God. And then to rest in Him as a way of demonstrating ultimately that He is everything to us. We need this desperately. And I will encourage each of you in your own personal lives and your family to sit down and to wrestle with what it means for you to truly disengage from life, from work, from labor, so that you might be refreshed, engage your God, reengage your family and your spouse, that you might be able to have these deep times of refreshment as you rest in the Lord. You need to wrestle with the meaning of this passage because Jesus said it's for you. It's His love gift to us. Well, let's pray. Father, this is a difficult culture to live out this commandment. I acknowledge that. And yet, Lord, we have to begin somewhere. We have to begin wrestling with what this means and how we're to obey it and how we're to put it into practice in our lives. And I ask that You would give us wisdom to know how to implement these things in our life, to truly be refreshed in You, to reflect what it means to rest in Christ, to begin to have our souls re-energized as we worship and are instructed. And then, Lord, to have energy because we took times of solitude and silence before You to be refreshed. And now we leave, we start the new work week just excited and with souls that are full, not souls that are empty. Father, I pray for those in our church who do not know You as Savior, that You will use the time of rest to cause them to ask the hard questions of life and to begin to look at their souls and to realize that the answers are in You.
Father, I pray that you will help us to keep this commandment, not in a legalistic way, but in a way which causes us to see your wisdom and to embrace your wisdom to become more like you. Oh, Father, do a great work in our hearts for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Turn your song.